Good morning, church. I hope that you had a wonderful week last week and that your Sunday is off to a great start. As we begin, I want to share a video that has brought me a lot of joy recently. Actually, a genre of videos that I have found to be both uplifting, encouraging, and something that I enjoy watching with my family. These videos, if you've seen them, are animals exploring zoos. So what's happening is because zoos are closed right now, the zookeepers are letting animals wander around the zoos, obviously with assistance, and they're recording it. And what we're seeing are these animals that are fascinated with places that they've never explored before. Like here's a video of some foxes exploring premises that they have never seen before. See their energy and their excitement, and it's just a fun, good video. Here's another clip of penguins exploring an aquarium. Probably never been to this part of the premises before, but here they are living their best life. What I enjoy the most about these videos are how fun they are. It's a good story. It makes you feel good. And right now, we need stories like that. Now, I think that we need stories beyond foxes and penguins. We need stories of shared humanity that expresses kindness and generosity and love for our fellow neighbor. A few weeks ago, I came across the story of a farmer from Kansas named Dennis. Now, instead of me reading through the story, I found the news clip of Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, reading a letter that Dennis wrote.
Here's a letter that I received that just sums it up. Dear Mr. Cuomo, I seriously doubt that you will ever read this letter, as I know you are busy beyond belief with the disaster that has befallen our country. We are a nation in crisis. Of that there is no doubt. I am a retired farmer hunkered down in northeast Kansas with my wife, who has but one lung and occasional problems with her remaining lung. She also has diabetes. We are in our 70s now, and frankly, I am afraid for her. Enclosed, find a solitary N95 mask, left over from my farming days. It has never been used. If you could, would you please give this mask to a nurse or doctor in your state? I have kept 4 masks for my immediate family. Please keep on doing what you do so well, which is to lead. Sincerely, Dennis and Sharon. A farmer in northeast Kansas. His wife has one lung and diabetes. He has 5 masks. He sends 1 mask to New York for a doctor or a nurse, keeps 4 masks. You want to talk about a snapshot of humanity. You have 5 masks. What do you do? Do you keep all 5? Do you hide the 5 masks? Do you keep them for yourselves or others? No. You send 1 mask to New York to help a nurse or a doctor. How beautiful is that? I mean, how selfless is that? How giving is that? You know, that's the nursing home in Niskayuna that sent 100 ventilators down to New York City when they needed them. It's that love, that courage, that generosity of spirit that makes this country so beautiful and makes Americans so beautiful. And it's that generosity of spirit, for me, makes up for all the ugliness that you see. Take one mask. I'll keep four. God bless America.
Now, what I hope that you got out of that video is the draw of kindness, of how when people do kind things, it makes us feel good, but it also makes us want to do kind things for other people. And we don't even have to leave this story to get another example of that. Because a few days after hearing what this farmer named Dennis from Kansas did, the state of Kansas recognized Dennis. See, in 1971, Dennis had to leave school because his father had passed away and somebody needed to step up and take care of his family's farm. And that's exactly what Dennis did. But he was only a few credits short of graduating. And so what the state of Kansas did was they gave Dennis a degree in agriculture, the degree that he was seeking in 1971.
I've waited half a century to receive my college degree and had pretty much written off any chance of getting it. It would not have happened had I not mailed in that one N95 mask to Governor Cuomo for a first responder in March. I guess they call it karma.
What's powerful about that is that doing kind things causes others to want to do kind things too. Now there's a story in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Now we often focus and zoom in on this idea of this miraculous healing, because it's wonderful and it's amazing and it's something that Jesus can do. But when we focus so much on that, we overlook the kindness that Jesus shows this man. And the text begins, "A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said. 'Be clean.' Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. 'See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.'" Now, most Gospels will end there, but Mark includes something that is extremely powerful. "Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere." The thing that I see in this story, and that I hope that you do too, is it all begins with Jesus touching him. This man has leprosy. People are not running up to give this guy a hug. They're not shaking this guy's hand. They're not patting him on the back. But what Jesus does out of the gate, the first thing that Jesus does when he responds, the text says that he touches him. He says, "I am willing." I love those little actions, those little moments of kindness. Desmond Tutu, in regards to little acts of kindness, says this: "Do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world." I'm sure you've heard that quote before, but it's one that I really love. Because often we think that kindness has to be partnered with grand gestures that blow people away. But the reality is that kindness begins with small acts of love and compassion, like touching a leper. Now, I found another story this week that I think highlights those small acts of kindness that can overwhelm the world. And that story is of a 11-year-old girl from South Dakota who loves to write letters. Now, recently, her father started sharing on Twitter all of the things that have happened since his daughter started writing letters. M, his daughter, has a serious letter writing habit. She maintains active correspondence with over a dozen of her favorite people. And if you've ever been the lucky recipient of one of M's hand-decorated letters and envelopes, then you have a pretty good idea of the joy that they bring. Now, her father goes on to talk about how M sees people. She recognizes that people need to be heard, that they need to be listened to, and that they need to be encouraged. And she eventually realizes that one of the reasons why her letters go from point A to point B is because of her local postman. And she decided that she was going to write a letter to him and encourage him. I'm Emerson. You may know me as the person that lives here, that writes a lot of letters and decorates the envelopes. Well, I wanted to thank you for taking my letters and delivering them. You're very important to me. I make people happy with my letters, but you do too. The reason you're very important in my life is because I don't have a phone, so how else am I supposed to stay in touch with my friends? You make it possible. Now, I have a few more tweets that I want to share, but I want to stop there and recognize how powerful it is that this little 11-year-old kid gets it. She understands that we need to be seen, that we need to be recognized. And maybe a side project that we could all do this week is to tell someone, you mean something to me. You're important to me. I need you in my life. We don't do that enough. And this 11-year-old kid from South Dakota is reminding us to tell people, hey, you matter. You mean something to me. Now, I mentioned this kind of infectious nature of kindness. Like when we do kind things to others, we feel good about ourselves. When people do kind things to us, we want to do kind things for others. And this happens in this story too. Because what happens is the postman, whose name is Doug, shares this letter with his supervisor. The next day, a package arrived with some stamps and two letters. Doug had shared M's letter with his supervisor, Sarah, and they both wanted to share how touched they were by her note. He writes, this is when things get interesting. The next week, we got a letter addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Weber. It seems that Sarah had shared M's note as a token of thanks in the internal newsletter for the Western U.S., and there were some postal folks that wanted to thank her. But that last line reads, this has sparked great joy in a time of turmoil in our country, and I thank you for raising a daughter like Emerson. May her love for the country and the United States Postal Service be continued throughout her years. As the story continues, they started getting letters from other people within the postal network. People felt seen, some for the first time in a long time. I work alone in a small rural post office, one wrote. My kids all live far away, another. Not a lot of people think about how hard we work. One wrote, I can't tell you how much it means to read your letter. Another, I have a son in Kuwait, and if you have a second to send him a letter, he would love it. And another, I know you can't write back to all of us, but maybe I can drop you a line from time to time. The thing that just kept getting me in this story is how important it is to be kind to others. How at a time right now, we need to show our neighbors, our friends, even strangers, kindness and compassion and love. We don't know what people are going through. We don't know how somebody's day, week, month has been. But the thing that we can do, and the thing that we're called to do, is to love people and to show them kindness. So this week, as I do every time I get to talk to you guys, I want to leave you with a challenge. I'd like you to do one nice thing for somebody. I don't care what it is. It can be completely up to you. But I would love it if you would just do one nice thing. Maybe that's calling somebody that you haven't talked to in a while. Maybe that's doing just a drive-by visitation where you're just like, hey, miss you, good to see you. It's up to you. But to do something kind and to create a kindness chain where if you do one nice thing for somebody, maybe that person will do something nice for somebody else. And we can keep this thing going to where we all realize that we need each other, that we love each other, and it's really, really good to be kind to each other. Let me pray for you guys, and then the video will end. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for this community at Chennault and all the people involved within it. God, as we continue to go throughout our weeks, we ask that you put people in our lives to serve, put people in our lives to love, and just put people in our lives that we can smile to. God, we love you, and we thank you for Jesus. It's through him that we pray. You are dismissed.